the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, you have called us to enter your kingdom through the narrow door. Guide us by your word and spirit, and lead us now and always into the feast of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Martyr's Tide is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 66th chapter. For I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues. And they shall come and see my glory, and I will set a sign among them. And from them I will send survivors to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, who draw the bow, to Tobol and Javan, to the coastlands afar off that have not heard my fame or seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the nations. And they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots and in litters and on mules and on dromedaries, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord. And some of them also I will take for priests and for Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. And they shall go out and look on the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me. For their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me.
The one who works his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God.
The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty.
God shines forth.
Our God comes. He does not keep silence.
Before him is a devouring fire. Around him a mighty tempest.
He calls to the heavens above.
And to the earth, that he may judge his people.
Gather to me, my faithful ones.
Who made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
The heavens declare his righteousness.
For God himself is judge.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you.
I am God, your God.
Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you.
Your burnt offerings are continually before me.
I will not accept a bull from your house.
Or goats from your folds.
For every beast of the forest is mine.
The cattle on a thousand hills.
I know all the birds of the hills.
All that moves in the field is mine.
If I were hungry, I would not tell you.
For the world and its fullness are mine.
Do I eat the flesh of bulls?
Or drink the blood of goats?
Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving.
And perform your vows to the Most High.
And call upon me in the day of trouble.
I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me.
The one who works his way rightly, I will show the salvation.
The reading from the letters is from the letter to the Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without the discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of all spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems rather painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. and people will come from east and west, and from north and south, and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in the one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text from our second reading from the book of Hebrews, especially these words. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? This is our text. With a newborn daughter in the house as of yesterday morning, I've been given another reminder of my responsibility and calling as a father. The words of St. Paul are ringing in my ears when he said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." The word that jumps out at me is that word, discipline. Honestly, discipline is not my favorite part of being a father, but it is a good and necessary part of being a father. And that word discipline is the word that our reading from Hebrews uses to describe God, our Heavenly Father, and how and why he disciplines us. The word discipline certainly reminds us that being a Christian isn't always easy or comfortable or convenient. Our Father in heaven isn't in the business of making us feel good about ourselves. It's his job to guide us and keep us on the straight path that goes through the narrow door of salvation. His job is to save us and to bring us into his holiness. And I would say here there is a mirror for me as a father when I think of that word discipline. My goal and desire for my children is not simply that they lead happy lives, although I hope that they will, but that they lead good lives and lives that lead to eternal life. So also for our Father in heaven, it is not simply our happiness that is his goal, but rather our holiness. The author of Hebrews says, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." This is the context in which the author of Hebrews talks about the Lord's discipline. The context is this. First, he speaks about Christ enduring hostility. In some way, discipline in this world goes along with the hostility and persecution and suffering that we face. He also speaks of the danger that we have of growing weary or faint-hearted. I'd ask for a show of hands right now, but I don't think that's appropriate. But I'm sure that out there are those among us who are weary, who are on the verge of growing faint-hearted. The challenges in front of us seem to be very many, and the blessings sometimes seem to be very few. And then there's the ongoing struggle with sin. I say ongoing because the author of Hebrews says, in your struggle against sin, and he speaks of it as if this is not just a one-time thing, but rather that this is the way it's been in the past and is now and will be on this side of glory, a struggle against sin. And that brings us to a particular image that the author of Hebrews uses here for Jesus. He speaks about Jesus as a soldier, as one who is engaged in the battle against sin, and who is engaged in the battle against hostility. And our Lord Jesus engaged in this battle alone. He took on Satan and the evil hordes alone. He battled against sin alone. He took on death alone. And in his struggle against these things, including his struggle against sin, he went farther than any of us have. He resisted to the very point of shedding his blood. When we hear those words, shedding his blood, we think, of course, of his cross, the ultimate shedding of his blood. But we can back up from that in the gospel readings. There is our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. Our Lord, you might say, in that moment of enduring his Father's discipline, who is kneeling on the ground, praying, and his sweat is falling in drops of blood. Or we can go all the way back to the beginning of his life, on the eighth day, when our Lord was circumcised and he first shed his blood in the struggle against sin. So our Lord knows what it is to struggle against sin, and to struggle even more fiercely than you or I have. For he struggled right up to the point of his death on the cross. And this same Jesus is the Jesus who is with us in our struggles against sin. And what he says is true, and this is true not only in our struggle against sin, but in the discipline we receive from our Heavenly Father. He says, it hurts me more than it hurts you. And it's certainly true. And consider who Jesus was. He endured all of this as the beloved Son of the Father. He was not the enemy of the Father. God was not against him. God was his Father, and yet Jesus endured these things. You might recall that at his baptism, the Father declared Jesus to be his beloved Son. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father said, "This is my Son, whom I love." And yet still, he had to face the cross. Our Lord was not spared this discipline, this struggle, this training. There's a really interesting verse earlier in Hebrews where the author of Hebrews describes Jesus as the pioneer of our salvation, and he says that he was made perfect through what he suffered. By perfect, it doesn't mean that he was a sinner or that he was imperfect, but rather he completed the work that he did through his suffering. That was the narrow path that our Lord took for us. And he could have given up. He could have turned back. How many times? When they came for him in Gethsemane, when they were leading him to the cross, when he was being challenged and tested by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, when he was numbered with sinners in his baptism, he could have taken a different path. And in Gethsemane, you might remember that he even asked his Father for the cup to pass from him, but then he said he was willing to drink that cup if that's what had to happen. He was willing to endure what had to be endured. He was willing to go through the discipline that he had to go through. And why would we expect any different? We belong to the same family. He calls us his brothers and sisters. So know this. Just as there was a purpose for Christ in what he went through, the purpose being our salvation, so there is also a purpose for us in what we go through. And there's a fatherly hand involved in our lives and our experiences. None of it is meaningless, and none of it is hopeless. It's the way that he helps us through this weariness that we have. It's the way that he helps us to endure this faint-heartedness and to engage in this struggle. And let's be sure that we do struggle against sin. Instead of waving a white flag, instead of making peace with our sin, let us struggle against it, even as Jesus struggled to the point of death. Do not resign yourself to your sin. Do not say that this is really who you are, but do struggle against your sin and engage in that struggle every single day. By faith, we know that the Lord's discipline is good, and we know that his discipline is good even when it's hard, because we know what the Father has given for us. He has given his own Son for us, and in Christ, we are all his sons. The author of Hebrews says in verses 5 through 7, "Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons?
And he quotes then from the book of Proverbs, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? You see, discipline is an expression of parental love. It is an expression of a father's love. And the author of Hebrews makes clear that even our earthly fathers, for the most part, have disciplined us for our good. So also our Father in heaven. When we are going through discipline, we can be sure that we are God's children, that we are dearly beloved by him, for he only disciplines those whom he loves. And our Father in heaven has in view something good for us. He has in view our sanctification and our glorification. Who are children that go without discipline? What does it mean to be a child who is undisciplined? It means that child is illegitimate or unloved or abandoned. Every child requires discipline, including us as God's children. Now, by discipline, I don't just mean punishment. Punishment is sometimes a part of discipline. It's used to correct wrongdoing or correct a wayward child, but that's not everything that discipline is. Discipline is bigger than that. It also involves training. It involves instruction. It involves practice. In my home, when we're training our children, even after we've corrected something they've done wrong, we will spend time practicing the right way to behave. That's also part of discipline. And the fact that it hurts isn't an indication that it's bad, but it hurt is sometimes an indication of what is good. When you go through a hard workout, I venture to guess that it hurts when you're done. You go through a massage, a deep massage, and it hurts. So the point of the Christian life isn't about whether it's painful or pleasant. That's the wrong tool to use in evaluating it. But whether it is good. And the Lord's discipline is good. That word discipline we use in a lot of different contexts. I think of it in terms of sports, in terms of the military, in terms of education, especially in the fine arts and in music. We're not afraid of discipline in those contexts. We're not afraid of hard work. We're not afraid of practice. No one gets to the top without practice and without training, without listening. And so it is also for us as Christians. Do not think of discipline as something that is bad for us, but consider it as something that is good. Disciplining of the body is a good thing so that it can be brought under control and so that we can use it to accomplish the things we want to accomplish. And this is also true for us spiritually. The Lord disciplines us to bring our sin under control, and so that through us, he can accomplish the things that he wants us to accomplish. He disciplines us so that we can use our time, our abilities, our possessions, our talents faithfully to do his will. And which of us hasn't experienced the Lord's discipline at some point? Sometimes that discipline comes in sharp and swift doses that almost take our breath away or knock us out. And other times it's just in that slow and steady wave that almost wears us down. When it comes, which of us hasn't asked why? Why, Lord? Why this discipline? Why now? It's strange. We often tell our children not to ask why when we discipline them, and yet we turn around and use that same question to our Father in heaven. We say our children should accept our wisdom as infallible, though we are not, and yet we feel all right questioning the Almighty, who is infallible. Not why, but what is the proper question when discipline comes? We've been told the why often enough, and the author of Hebrews repeats it for us again. It is because our Father loves us, and he wants to mature us for heaven. The what he will show us in time. Maybe not immediately, maybe not today or tomorrow, but eventually he will show us the what as he strengthens our faith and uses us to strengthen others. And we know the discipline will not go on forever. The day will come when he on whom we fix our eyes in faith will return. And when he does, then we shall see him face to face, and we will know him fully, even as we are fully known. So know this, that in the discipline we experience from God, his care is all over it. His love is in every fingerprint. He uses our training for our good, and it is a reminder and a sign that we are his sons. And God disciplines us not to vent his anger, not in order to punish us for our sin, but rather to reclaim and redirect us for himself. His caring hand is behind the trials of our life. But I know how it is, because this is how it is in my life, this is how it is in the lives of my children. When discipline comes, we'd rather be done with it. We'd rather get out of it. You know how it is. We squirm to avoid it or find some excuse that this discipline shouldn't be happening right now. Or we try to tell the Lord that we're so sorry, just stop this discipline. But he will do what is good for us, what is needed by us. If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons, the author of Hebrews says. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. What kind of discipline comes to your mind when you think about the discipline of the Lord? What events and experiences in your own life? What challenges and trials? What disappointments and sorrows? When it comes to the Lord's discipline, do not despise it, but welcome it and give thanks for it. Your Father in heaven loves you, and he knows what is best for you. And he only does what is good, and he only allows what he knows he can use for your benefit. So listen to him. Listen to his word. When you hear in the scriptures some word that convicts you or disciplines you, pay attention to it. Pause on that passage. Read it again. Listen to the discipline that you hear in his word and receive the discipline that he brings in your life. St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. When we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. As we come to the Lord's Supper, we come confessing our sins. We come judging ourselves to be sinners. We come recognizing that we are children and that we are in need of his discipline. And we come in this way so that we are not condemned by what we receive, but are rather blessed by it, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. You see, your Father in heaven is at work through his gifts in the church, his word and his sacraments, and he is at work in your lives as well to bring you and me and all of us to holiness. He wants us to be holy as he is holy, and he is at work through his holy means to make us holy as well. And this is what the author of Hebrews says, that we may be partakers of his holiness. This is why our Father in heaven disciplines us. So don't grow weary. Don't become faint-hearted. Don't flag while you are on the journey of this life. But rather be assured of this, that God has a purpose in what he gives and he does. And there is no error in God's discipline. He never over-disciplines us. He never disciplines us out of anger, but only out of his holiness and his goodness and his love for us. And so he is training our souls, and he is instructing our souls, and he is leading us on the narrow path that leads to eternal life. You know how it is in your own life and experience. Perhaps as you were growing up, perhaps as you were learning some instrument or training in some sport, that the more you went under discipline, the stronger you became. And so it is for us in Christ. He disciplines us for our good, and he disciplines us to strengthen us. And let us also look to one another that none of us may fail or fall behind in this journey, but rather reach out to your brothers and sisters in Christ when they are suffering, when they are in some trial, when they are experiencing discipline from the Lord. Encourage them and support them on their journey. For we have this promise that our Father in heaven is leading us through this life, and he is leading us to the new heavens and the new earth. He is leading us to that place where his holiness will be perfect and full, not only in him, but also in us. And he has brought us today, not to a place to condemn us, but rather he has brought us here to his Mount Zion, where he grants to us the forgiveness of all his sins, where he reminds us that we are his dearly beloved children, whose lives and bodies and souls have been purchased by the death of Christ, and that he would have us be holy, as he is making us even now. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we look ahead to the end, to that holiness of eternity, and to the harvest of righteousness that God is working in us. And we have his promise by faith in Christ that he works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You are his dearly beloved children. And so the things he works in your life, he works also for good through his Son, Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
For the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray. For faith that enters ever more deeply into the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and to gather many with us who would repent of their sins and enter God's kingdom, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the everlasting Church of God to grow in boldness and confidence from the proclamation of his word, that she would declare God's glory among the nations, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all fathers called to bring up their children in the fear and love of God, that they would lovingly discipline their children and so show forth the fatherly love of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for the birth of Wren Ivy to Ian and Kristen, and for the baby girl born to the Gregories, that they would soon receive the washing of rebirth and renewal in holy baptism and remain in the Lord's kingdom always, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all expectant mothers, including Melinda, Allie, Brooke, Shayla, Alyssa, and Joelle, that they would be sustained physically and spiritually throughout their pregnancies. For abortion-vulnerable women, that they would receive good care and so spare the lives of their children. And for all who bear the cross of infertility or infant loss, that they would be comforted. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Patrick and Laura, William, Henry, and Samuel, as they return to Indiana, that you would keep them safe in their travels and bless Patrick's ongoing studies, that he may be a fit servant for your kingdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our President, the Congress of the United States, our Governor, and all those in authority, that God would grant them wisdom, integrity, and skill in the exercise of their lawful duties, so that justice would be maintained, the innocent defended, wickedness restrained, liberty upheld, and consciences respected. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Catherine, Ed, Eldon, Jim, John, Cadence, and her parents Danny and Camilla, Wayne, Jackie, Randy, Ann, Rosemarie, Nancy, Robert, Mike and Nancy, and all who suffer, that they would trust the fatherly love of God, who disciplines those he loves, and who promises to never leave them nor forsake them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the blood of Christ, which speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, let us give thanks to the Lord. And for this precious blood to bless and sanctify our bodies, to be a temple for his eternal dwelling, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the right worship of the Lord on earth as it is in heaven, that with thanksgiving for Helene and all the saints who have gone before us, we would die to ourselves and enter with Christ into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to join with all the angels in festal gathering and to be numbered with the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, perfected in the righteousness of Christ and abiding forever in his new creation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
To you, O Lord, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all glory, honor, and worship and praise, now and even to the end of all the ages. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our reading today is from Proverbs number 3. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, nor be wary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and a refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with all your wealth and with your first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, nor be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him who he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be wary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.